Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are joining us from. Hi, guys. I hope you are doing well and having a good day wherever you are joining us from. As always, you are now listening to Homegirls Unite. Please do not listen to this podcast whilst cooking, cleaning, or doing any childcare related activities. Sit back and enjoy. Hi, guys. Hi, Senya. How are you?
Good. How are you, Yasin?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. I'm fine. I was trying to like, shall I rant or not? I've decided not to rant. How's your week been?
It's been busy, honestly, Yasin. I've been working a lot of overtime and I've got a lot of decisions that I'm trying to think through and trying not to second guess myself. So it's just busy all around.
Speaking of decisions and second guessing, it's like we're on the same wavelength today. So I think we might as well continue in that. How has that decision making become hard for you? Because I feel like as eldest daughters, growing up, we've made a lot of decisions for our parents, our siblings, the household, and we do it confidently without like any issues. And then I think all of a sudden we grow up, we're adults, we're making decisions for ourselves, and then we become stuck. What's been your experience with that?
I mean, my experience is that you're completely accurate. It's been mine as well. It's just, I do remember, you know, growing up and wanting to please my parents and how it made me feel good inside when they were happy or satisfied with what I did, or and I also remember going through school. I'm glad and proud that I finished my education, but a friend pointed out once, you know, did you do it for yourself or were you seeking approval from your parents? So that's something I think about, and it's still even now, you know, those thoughts creep up when I consider any big decisions, any big changes.
Do you feel like you still have to consult your parents on big decisions, even though you have your own child, like you're living your adult life? Do you still seek that approval from them?
I think there's a part of me that does, but also a big part of me feels like I need to share it with them, you know, whether they approve or not. Like, I feel like I need to tell them. And it's so funny because one of my sisters is like, you know, you don't have to tell mom and dad everything. And I'm just thinking, that's so great that you have that freedom, but I don't have that yet. I'm not there yet. When am I going to get there?
Do you feel like the reason you feel like you need to tell them or share is because you're already saving yourself for whatever conflict might arise from them not knowing in the first place?
That's a good question.
Because I feel like sometimes as the eldest, like my siblings also make decisions very freely and they'll probably tell my parents after the fact. Whereas for me, I feel like I have to consult them and for that approval as well, but also to be like, oh, I'm not like a wayward child that just does whatever they want without asking anyone for permission. And it's something that I definitely want to unlearn. But I think a lot of it is also to help me from managing conflict down the line before they find out from someone else.
You know, I can see that. But for me, honestly, I think it's almost the opposite, because I've only made a few decisions without telling my parents. And it's always because I don't want to tell them because I don't want to hear their lack of support or disagreement. Because if I tell them, you know, if I tell them beforehand, because then I feel like then it's not my decision anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Do you feel the same in like not even huge, huge decisions, smaller ones that you still feel like you need to consult your friends? Because I do that a lot. Like, let's say I was applying for something or I was making a decision about something. I already know what I want to do or how I'm going to go about it. But it's like I sometimes don't trust myself enough. So I have to ask my close friends, well, what do you think of this? And then they'll validate my feelings or my reasoning. And then I feel okay to go ahead with it. Whereas yes. I wish I wasn't like that as much.
I have to agree with you 100% that that's what I do. I definitely do that. And I think about some of my friends, how they make their decisions. And some of them don't really talk to me about it. They just do it. One of them is, she might be the oldest. One of them is the oldest. Another one is the only child. And the other one is definitely not the oldest, but she seems, as far as birth order, but she seems to be the oldest in far as, when you think about what she does for her family.
Yeah. I think I want to get to that point where I'm not consulted. Obviously, there are certain decisions that you have no choice but to actually ask people in order to help you make the right decisions. But I also think there are some mundane stuff that I don't need to ask the whole street, like, what should I be doing here? Compared to your sisters, do they consult you at all or your parents?
They don't consult me at all. No. My parents, I'm not sure. The one sister who was like, you don't have to tell mom and dad everything. I don't think she does. the other one, I'm not too sure, honestly.
Okay. So how about at work? Do you feel like you're more certain of things and decision making there than in your personal life?
Yes, absolutely. How about you?
You know what? I think at work, I actually, because I have a co-director at Homegirls, it's really nice to bounce off of that person. And like, it's better to make decisions together rather than as an individual, and also having a board. But I think on the day-to-day things, I'm very quick with it. I don't need to consult like everyone to ask, but for like bigger things, like legally, I have to, obviously. But when it's just like duties, decisions on little things that we need to do for the organizations, I'm very confident in myself and in my job. And I, like both of us saying that, I feel like the way we were socialized as daughters and girls, when it comes, and for me at least, I don't want to speak for you, but for me at least, it was always like, don't disappoint, make sure that every decision you make has the family in mind, make sure that you don't let people down. So I think I've always have it in the back of my head that whatever decision I do, it has the best interest. Like we were talking earlier about me having to move later on in the year. And even though I know that's for the best and it's going to be a decision that I need to make, I'm still like, maybe this is not what I should be doing because how is it going to impact everyone else around me?
Yeah. Wow. It's heavy, right? It's heavy. It's like, I don't want to say chains, right? But it's these ties that even though you're an adult and you're leading your life and you're self-sufficient, but it's like you feel that pull, right? It's like a pull, don't forget, like you're their daughter.
Yeah, definitely. And I think when I think about all the times I've made decisions that have gone wrong, I wasn't received in the nicest of ways. Oh, well, if you had spoke to us about this, then this wouldn't have happened. So it's like that additional fear of messing up has really caused me to be cautious. And I think a lot of elders' daughters also feel this way. And I think a lot of those decisions are usually regarding our personal lives rather than other things in like the family.
I agree wholeheartedly. Absolutely. I'm thinking about a lot of my decisions. Yeah, it's always, I always like, what are they going to think? Are they going to be supportive? Sometimes, like I said, if I knew there was going to be a lack of support or even criticism, there were some decisions I only told them about it afterwards, but it's just a constant, it's like never ending. They're always there. Like, what are they going to think about this?
It's like they're like sleeping policemen in our lives, our parents. Like, they don't even have to be there for us to be continuing like living lives like we're little prisoners. And I hope we can all break out of that.
Oh, absolutely. And I know this doesn't have anything to do with decisions, but you made that. What a great comment. Like the little policemen that live inside your head, right?
Yeah.
I had a high school reunion, I don't know how many years ago, 10, 15 years ago. And I hadn't seen any of these kids since 10th grade. And I just remember listening to their stories, and I couldn't take part in the stories because I wasn't ever allowed to hang out. I only had relationships with these other kids, you know, in school, in classes, and in between classes. And then as I heard all their stories and I felt left out, they also shared, I remember speaking out and saying that to them, like, I feel so left out, you know, like, you guys got to do that. And my parents were so strict and I had to go home. And you know what they said? They said, Senya, your parents did you a favor.
Wow.
They did me a favor because there was a lot of, you know, unsafe behaviors, drug use, alcohol use that they, that some of them participated in. And those, I didn't have any of those issues, growing up.
Yeah.
So, that was an interesting statement to hear from that. They said that they did you a favor and they were sincere.
That is really nice to hear, because now that I'm an adult, looking back at some of the things that I thought my parents were too strict for, I'm actually seeing that, okay, maybe they were not too bad. Maybe they did it to protect us and stuff. There was a case, I don't know if you were ever allowed to do sleepovers growing up.
No.
Straight up, no.
Never.
So that's why I was coming on to. I wasn't allowed to do sleepovers either. And recently there was an issue happened where someone took their children, trigger warning, mention of abuse. Someone went to a sleepover, a bunch of girls, and I think their dad drugged their kids' drink. Yeah, it happened in the States. And then one of the girls texted their mom like she doesn't feel safe and she should get picked up immediately. And then when the mom got there, the dad was like, no, come back in the morning. And she was like, absolutely not. So she took the kids, and I think that's when they realized what happened. And then in the comment section, people were talking about how this is why our parents never let us go to sleepovers. And I can't lie, growing up, I used to be really angry at my parents for not letting me take part in activities like going to sleepovers. And I'm now looking back, great things were not happening at those sleepovers. A lot of them were sneaking to the club underage, doing different things. So I now am glad that I wasn't allowed or given the opportunity to do that. So I think if there's elders' daughters out there that are listening, that are experiencing such with their parents, like, oh, my parents are too strict. Yes, there are parents that take it overboard. But I also think that there are some things that they're genuinely protecting us from, even though we don't understand it right now. But I think when you get older and you actually see not everyone has the best intentions for you, and you start to realize, like, okay, they were not that bad. They were all right. Fenya, oh,
absolutely. Well, I agree.
I was going to say, did you ever let your child go to sleepovers?
And now I have to think back on that. I struggled with that. I didn't like it. But he did have a few sleepovers. But you know, with my son, I really tried to get to know all the parents. I tried to become their friends, you know, and get to know all his friends too. That was very different from what my parents did. They had different work schedules. They didn't encourage the friendships. They never met any of the other parents. So that was my way of at least, you know, I guess trying to vet these people, right? Mm-hmm. So yes, I did, but I did struggle with it. Each time I was like, you want to go sleep over?
Leave my house?
Why? Maybe he wants to sleep over here, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I think rightfully so, but I think also now I'm at an age, like, thinking about having kids, I don't know. Like, I think it will be more of like your example, if you actually really know the parents and you guys have good relationships, then I would probably consider it. But it's not going to be something that is the norm in our household. Like, you're not going off every weekend to do sleepovers. Definitely not. So, Fenya, I wanted to talk about the never-ending role of being an eldest daughter, in the sense that no matter, I feel like being an eldest daughter is like being a full-time mom of a newborn, right? There's no room for wiggle or to take a break sometimes, I feel like, unless you actually intentionally set those boundaries yourself. Because I feel like, example, when I'm going through like that time of the month, PMSing, and I don't really have even any energy for myself, let alone other people, but people still expect you to continue your eldest daughter role and providing everyone and meeting everyone's needs whilst no one is really trying to meet your needs. How has that been for you, if any? Have you experienced it?
I did experience a little bit growing up. I mean, I don't think I was allowed to not do the things that were expected. You know, I had a lot of responsibility at home, and I'm trying to think how it was. Did I have any sick days? I don't think I did. And definitely as an adult and in my relationship, it carried on where you just kind of lose yourself.
Yeah.
And you're working through whatever needs to work through, you're working through whatever needs to be done for the greater good, I guess, if you will. And it's a struggle to assert yourself, to be like, hey, I'm really not feeling good, and prioritizing yourself, and then shake also the guilt because you're not contributing, I guess. Is that kind of what you're?
Yeah, definitely. And also the last couple of weeks I've been speaking to a lot of elders' daughters on the rant sessions, and one of the things that keeps coming up is elders' daughters not wanting to have children or getting married, because they feel like they are going to continue being caregivers to people again, and it's like their whole life consists of being a mom, a wife, looking after someone else. And this decision of not having kids has been a thing of, I think of, do you want, if you weren't an eldest daughter, would you have had kids? Probably yes. I used to be that person that did not want kids, but I'm not in that space anymore. Like, I do want to have kids, but also I do think about what kind of partner I'm going to have a child with, that I don't have to be the one consistently doing everything. Did you ever think about, did having children ever play like a, was it like a tug of war with you before you had your son, or has it always been a thing that you wanted?
Yeah, no. I remember thinking, nope, I am never having kids. I mean, I felt like I had kids, you know, with my sisters. I mean, I loved them to death and they were my dolls, but I didn't want them. And then, you know, your perspective changes when you fall in love and you meet your person. And I did want to have a child then. And I wanted to have more. It just never worked out. I just had the one. But no, you're absolutely right. I remember leaving home thinking, nope, nothing live is ever coming out of me.
No humans coming out of this.
Nope. I didn't even want to have pets.
Wow. And look at you now. You have two dogs.
Yes. My never ending babies, Hank and Bo. Yes.
See, so it does change. And how were you able to balance being a mother and having to be responsible for a whole human being, on top of that, being an eldest daughter?
You know, when I had my son, it was, oh God, it was the happiest day of my life. Everything that they say, how you don't know how much you can love something until you have your own child. Absolutely. That's how I felt. And it was, I loved that time with him. And I'm trying to think, I just remember, oh my gosh, I remember when my son was little and calling my mom and telling her, now I know, like crying, right? It's all postpartum hormones. Yeah. I know what you experienced, mom. You're right. Like, he's going to grow up and leave me someday and I just can't stand it, you know?
That's sweet though. That's really sweet. Did you, once you like got into the hang of motherhood, do you think you were able to set better boundaries? Because now it's not just you, it's like your son is your priority. So were you able to like stand up for yourself easily? Essentially, like you didn't have to say yes to people all the time because you had someone that required you to say yes to them all the time. So you had maybe had less time for other people, or did you just take on the load without question?
No, it was hard to say no at first because sometimes I would agree to things and then I would, yes. And I would stress myself out trying to do everything. And I think we talked about this on another episode, but it's just, or I mentioned briefly, like once I had a housewarming party.
Oh, yes.
And here I am, like things were not, I was just making sure everything was in place, but I didn't realize I had a scowl on my face where one of my guests was like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine. I'm having a good time. I'm just making sure everybody else is having a good time. So once I realized that, that all stopped, but it took a long time. But having a child definitely made it easier for me to be like, no, I'm busy. You know, I can't commit to that. I've got plans already, or I've got my child or whatever.
Mm. That's, I think that definitely makes it easier, to push those boundaries and be standing on business. And I wanted to ask you, for eldest daughters who genuinely want to have children, but out of fear they're like, no, I'm not going to do it. And maybe at risk of down the line regretting their decision of not having children. Do you have any like words of advice as someone that's done it, as a mom, on how they should go about making that decision for themselves, not because of what everyone else has done to them?
Well, I mean, and we talk about this, I think, on every episode too. Honestly, the one word of wisdom is go to therapy, please. Please go to therapy. I mean, it's true. You bring a child into this world. They're innocent, you know. They don't know or care, you know, how you were brought up, what triggers you. And you want to be the best mom that you can be, you know, for your child. So that means that you got to work through your own stuff, because you might have experienced something different. You might have rage, resentment, anger, you know, or just very, you know, so much sadness. You want to take care of that before you bring a child, if you can, because they deserve the best you that you can be. And you deserve it for yourself too, so you can enjoy your child and maybe not have guilt afterwards, like, you know, why did I say that? Why did I do that? I said I would never act like my mom, or I would never say these things. And yet sometimes it slips out because you haven't dealt with your own, you know, your own traumas perhaps, or your own issues. So that's the one thing that I would encourage people. I wish I'd have known that.
Yeah.
You deserve the absolute best you, your child, you, and your spouse.
Yeah, no, that's really good advice. And I'm taking note because I feel like some of those things are definitely things that I really want to do, especially before I become a mom. And also, like, I think one of the things that lives in my head rent-free is the fact that I know who I am and who I want to be as a parent, but the person that I'm going to have this child with, I cannot guarantee who they're going to be. And I think that also is a fear that sits on my shoulders, and I know some eldest daughters probably feel the same way. And I think you genuinely cannot, you can't, I feel like there are certain things that you can probably know before having a child with someone, but you might not necessarily know till that child is here on what kind of partner or father they're going to be. Is there any wiggle room for us to make better decisions? Sorry, I'm talking to you like you're an expert in this, but it's because you've done it. That's why I'm asking. Well,
I'm definitely not the expert, but I have gone through it.
From your experience, is there anything that we should, as eldest daughters and potential future mothers, should be looking out for in our future spouses and future father of our children, before making big decisions to either marry them or have children with them?
You know, looking at it from this side now, you know, because you're right, I've done it. I'm not the expert, but what I do have my experiences and I have learned from them. I would say try to find out what your potential father or mother, right, depending on who your partner is.
Yes.
Try to determine their level of emotional intelligence. That's hard to do. It requires for you to be emotionally intelligent appropriately, it requires you to do that work on your own. So here I go back again to the therapy. Everybody's got some type of trauma in their life. It might not look the same, but when you're a parent, you don't realize it, but you're modeling behavior for your child, you know, and you think that they're not paying attention or they're not looking, but they hear what's being said. They feel the energy. They see, you know, is there affection? Is there not affection? They can feel the tension. It's important for children to have parents that are emotionally intelligent that model that behavior so they know how to deal with disappointment, sadness, and fear, that it's normal to express those emotions, but how do you appropriately express them? That's the utmost importance, honestly. It requires people to face not just the things that they love about themselves, but the things that maybe they're ashamed of, and work through it and not let that shame or, you know, that they call it your shadow self, not to let that negatively impact your relationships. And that relationship as a mom, I don't know, I feel like it's so important. It's like the most important. I don't know. Was that what you were looking for?
Yeah, definitely. I'm just here taking notes, like, and
because if you think about it, Yasin, like, taking care of kids when they're little is easy, even if they witness, you know, not the best dynamics at home. It's easy because they're in your care. You provide, you keep them safe. You've got them in this little bubble. Yeah. But once they start expanding their world and meeting other people and having less and less time at home, and as they get older, they need emotional support. They're going to be going through all the things that you experience, and how can you be there for that child?
Yes. No, that makes incredible sense.
Yeah. I feel like that's when it's the most difficult as they get older, because you got to have your shit taken care of in order to show up for your kid the way they need it throughout their stages, as they go through their stages of life.
Yeah. No, thank you. That makes a lot of sense. And I feel like we should all do therapy before taking up big steps in our lives, i.e. having kids, because you don't want that child to be, you don't want you to be the reason your child is traumatized down the line or needing like therapy for the rest of their lives, etc. So I definitely agree, and thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
I'm also a big advocate for couples therapy.
Yes.
Because I feel like, oh my God, what I would do to get my dad into therapy, oh my God, maybe hell has frozen that day if that happens. Because I feel like so much of our problems can be fixed or at least improved by talking to someone that has no loyalty towards either of the parties. They're just listening as a third party and helping us come to better relationships. But I feel as immigrant parents, that it's like, why am I telling someone my business? Why do you want me to tell the whole world my problems? What do you mean? But it's definitely a goal of mine to one day get my dad into therapy. So watch this space, guys. If I make it happen, I might write a book on how to do it, because we will all need it. Last question, Senya. Now that you're doing life, whatever you want to do, how best would you say to other eldest daughters, how do you avoid that guilt of living for you and not having to be considerate of everyone else? Because I think we spend our whole lives being considerate of everyone else and not ourselves. How did you get to this point where you're like, it's about me now and my two babies?
I know, my two babies that will never grow up. You know, I actually was thinking a lot about that recently as I was questioning some of the decisions that I'm, you know, trying to take, because I'm considering, you know, some big changes. And what drives me and what we can't ever forget is that life is short. It sounds so cliche, right? But life is short. You don't have, nobody knows when, you know, when your time's up, it's your time, and that's all there is to it. So if you're living your life for somebody else, if you're not living it authentically, you know, what are you waiting for? I mean, I'm asking myself the same question. I've been hiding out here for a couple of years. It served its purpose, but now that's why I'm ready for something different, because life is short and you got to go for it. You got to, I don't know. Nobody's ever going to advocate for you like you can do, like you need to. Nobody's going to do it for you. And the more you give that power of independence and, you know, just the more you give that power away to somebody else. I mean, I'm not saying that they're bad people and they're going to take advantage of you, but you're keeping, you know, you're maintaining status quo for who? For their comfort, for their, because you're helping them maybe. What about you? I mean, it's scary. And the thought of having strife with your family about making decisions is big, but I mean, take it from somebody who did that too. I had to walk away and I don't know how I got the strength to do it, but I was just like, when does my life start? And I moved away.
And I think you're absolutely right, because we're so good at doing everything for everyone else. Why do we not feel like we're deserving of all the good things that we do for others and all the good things that others are experiencing? And you have to get to that point in life where you're like, you know what? I've done a lot for others. Why not for me? And I hope elders' daughters everywhere get to that space as well. It's not easy, and it's probably, you might have to keep starting over and over again, but taking that step to even think about doing that is already a big one. So thank you for sharing those tips and all the tips, because because I've been ready.
I mean, I am not the expert by any means. I just know that we're all these are things that I've experienced, and these are the things that help me, and I wouldn't change it. I mean, I love who I am as a person now. And I know that it's because of the different experiences and decisions that I took upon myself, you know, to do for myself. I wouldn't be who I am right now. And that's what you have to realize. Like, you got to find yourself. How are you going to do it if you're always in the shadow of, you know, meeting commitments of a family? It's important. I'm not saying that you should turn your back on your family, but
within reason.
Exactly. Yeah. There's got to be a balance. It can't all be about somebody else. It has to be about you too. And you matter. Right. You're an individual.
And you don't want to be there in 10, 20 years time when everyone's gone, your siblings are living their life, and you're like, what happened?
I know some people like that. I know some people like that. They never broke out. And it's, I mean, and some of these are women that are older than me, and you can just see it. I see it in their eyes. I see it in their face. You know, some of them have a sort of bitterness, if you will. They don't have like that. They don't radiate, you know, energy or life. And I just never want to be that. I would never want to be like that. We're not meant to be like that.
We're not. Definitely not. And girls, if you're listening, let that be your sign. We don't want you to be bitter down the line and making your life miserable. So you're right. We're not meant to. Life is for us to enjoy and live for ourselves, not just for everyone else. And balance, moderation is really important.
Yes.
Sometimes saying no is the best thing you can do for yourself. And go out there, apply for that new job, move to that city, say no to that auntie that keeps putting you down, you know? It's no one's gonna die. Like, literally, they will be fine. They do this because they know you're gonna jump when they request things. It's time to like break free. Let's use this next quarter of 2024 on breaking free. And I'm gonna wrap it up there because otherwise I'm gonna start singing Breaking Free from High School Musical. And I don't think you guys need to hear my voice.
Oh my gosh. I think I'd like to hear that sometime.
I guess no, one of these days, Sanya.
Okay, that sounds great.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sanya. Those were really amazing tips from sharing with your experience. So I really appreciate that.
Wow, thank you. It was my pleasure. I always have such a... these are always so enlightening for me, and I learn something new each time. So thank you.
No worries at all. Thank you, guys. And we'll be back next week. Have a good week ahead. Bye.
Bye.